Okay, so let's take a look at this parable again. We've got it up on the screen. Is that kind of big enough for everybody? Let me make it a little bit bigger.
Go a bit bigger.
We're going to go big.
Okay.
Oh.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay, that's good. Okay, gotcha, Sandra.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I have Coke bottles.
Gotcha. Yeah. Hey, you're welcome, Sandra, and I encourage you to stay in good ground and don't be an owl. Okay, so we're looking at the parables. All right, let's take a look at this. All right, just a quick review. We decided to do the parable of the sower and the seed. We're going to review why, because I just wanted to go in order, starting in Matthew, and then I realized that, man, as I looked at this, a friend of mine said, you must start with the parable of the sower and the seed. We're going to see in Scripture why. Because Christ said, if you don't get this parable, you'll never be able to understand the full understanding of all the other parables. So we take it out of order because he gave these instructions for this one first. Then I was going to bounce back up and do, start at the beginning and start at Matthew 5. But then I looked at the parable of the tares. So we're going to leave the parable of the sower and the seed, and we're going to do the parable of the wheat and the tares, because there is just something there. And I'm looking at this thing, because I've never taught on this before, and I'm looking at this thing from a perspective that I've never seen before. And it's encouraging yet scary, because I don't want to make sure that we don't miss it. So let's go through our notes and make sure that we've got everything covered. We're looking at both Matthew and Mark because the accounts are there, but it's a little bit different in some of them. All right. And so what we talked about before, and I think the big thing on this is a little big. I think the big thing on this is to understand what the ground is. And we talked about that before. So there's four different types of soil. And then we also talked about what a parable is. Oh, I like what Roger said in the last class, a couple classes ago. Jesus responds to those who seek him. All right? That's a great application for today. If you don't know, you haven't asked. Jesus responds to those who seek him. How do we know that? Because he was on the seashore, and then he moved to a boat so he could accommodate the multitude who came out to seek him. God will make accommodations for those who seek him.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, indeed. All right. Cry out. All right. So he tells this parable. And the parable we've already learned is simply putting something side by side. You take the natural example, and you compare it to what's going on in the spirit. It gives you revelation of the kingdom and the spiritual application. Once you understand it in the natural and you apply it to your right now situation, you'll be able to understand the spiritual ramifications so that you stay in good ground. All right. So we all know the parable, wayside, hard-headed people, stony places, you know, those folk that already have stuff there. We looked at the stones being like part of the past, and those stones are there. And I gave the example of my mother's flower garden and vegetable garden or whatever. Oh, my God. It was a hard life growing up. You got to break up the soil. You got to take the rocks out. And when I looked at that from a spiritual perspective in my walk with my life, whenever I received the word of God, and I get excited about it. But I got things in my past. I got hurts in my past. I got heartbreak. I got disappointment. I got anger. I've got failure. It hinders the growth, and I can't produce fruit. So I think the breakthrough for us in looking at this lesson is, what is the ground? What does it represent today? And I know Deb said it's the heart. And, of course, when she meant that, it didn't mean, you know, the blood pumping thing there. It's our mind. And so this is where I used to look at the parable, and I think this is where I was really off. I thought once you get planted in good ground, that's it. And that you stay in the good ground. And that this is a static thing where I get planted in this ground, I'm stuck in that ground. I get planted in this ground, I'm stuck in that ground. And we're seeing two things here. You can be planted in the wrong ground. It doesn't mean you got to stay there. You can be planted in good ground. It doesn't mean you're still there. Because what we're seeing in this parable is the ground is your state of mind and how you process the word. And one day you can be in good ground and you can receive the word. And the next day that same word might put you in a different soil and you don't know it. So the question for us this morning is, where are you? Where's your mind? The seed was what?
Faith.
No.
Because, you
know, well, don't take my word for it.
You had faith the size of a mustard seed.
Different parable, but I like what you're saying there. Well, let's not take my word for this. Let's go through the scriptures. That's it. So he thought that the word, that the seed, is faith. Let's take a look at it. We've already gone through the breakdown or whatever. Somebody wants the notes, it's on the website. The audio will be on the website. Let's get past Mark. Let's get to that place or whatever where he breaks it down. Verse 11, he answered and said unto them, because they asked him, why are you speaking in parables or whatever? And basically, he doesn't want to offend people, but he also wants to reveal the mysteries of the kingdom to us, right? So he speaks in parables. And then the people that don't get it, they're like, well, I'm not offended, but, you know. So, and it's to fulfill prophecy. We're going to see it. I just said something, but I'm going to save that for the next one. All right. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Elias, which says, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand. So let's keep moving. I like this, verse 16. We talked about this last week. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. We are blessed just because we are in this Bible study and studying this word. Why? How do I know that? Because it's in the word. It just says that. All right? Okay. Then he says, verse 18, hear the parable of the sword and seed. So let's break this down, and then we'll get to Lee's question. Yes, ma'am.
Sandra said, please let her in. She got kicked
out. What? Hold on. Let me see where she is. Oh, there she is. That's why she didn't complain when I made the screen smaller. All right. Okay, so he breaks this down. And then, of course, we looked at Mark. And I like this part, that seeing, they may see and not perceive, and hearing, they may hear not, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. So if you're in the wrong soil, can you be converted and move to the good soil? Amen. How do I know that? That's what the word says. All right. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? How then will ye know all parables? So why are we studying this parable first? So we can understand every other parable and lesson that comes behind this. All right. So let's keep going. All right. It's nice to know that you can start out wrong and get back on track. All right. So he breaks it down. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then cometh the wicked one. So, does this answer Lee's question as to what the seed is? Is the seed faith?
No.
No. What is the seed?
The word. The
seed is the word. Now, connected to why he thought that, which is not far from the truth, where does faith come from? How do you get faith?
From the word.
From the word. Faith comes by
hearing.
And hearing the
word.
That's why Lee said, hey, I thought it was associated with faith. It is. But the faith comes from the word. All right? So, the problem is that we may know this parable, but do we fully understand the parable? Because I've read the whole Bible. I know the parable. I can recite this parable. I know the four soils. But I don't know if I ever looked at the four soils from the perspective of a state of mind, and that once I get planted in the good soil, I might be moved to another soil. Yep. Got it? Okay. So let's look at it from a static perspective, because what happens is Christ is explaining how people receive the word initially. The question is, as we are working the word, are we working the word in that same ground? All right. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understandeth not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. That is he which received seed by the wayside. They got the word by the wayside. Their heart is hard. They've got an uncircumcised heart. The ground is hard. It's broken up. If anybody ever tried to plant grass seed without breaking up the ground first, and you just lay the seed on top of the ground, all right.
Did
you hear what she said? If you put the seed out there, all right, on the hard ground, and you don't do it right, which is, then you got to go back and do it the right way.
Doing it in the flesh, in other words. I was sitting at my kitchen table,
yes,
and I was studying for a class, and I looked out the window, and in the far left of our yard where a tree was uprooted last year by a terrible storm.
Right.
And it pulled up the whole yard in that area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was so big.
Right.
And so Jimmy, like, he, you know, I am not dissing Jimmy for this, okay? I promise you. But he just, eventually he just got to seed. He's not just going to see if it'll take. He got seed, you know, and he just threw it out there.
Yep.
Without preparing. Okay, so then it didn't take. It got stolen. The birds came and ate it.
Yeah, so he just became a bird feeder.
And
yeah.
So, and then God's redemption, though, God's blessing was a neighbor put down sod and called us and said, hey, we've got leftovers and we'll sell it cheap.
Okay.
And so Jimmy, he took the time, about killed himself, prepared the ground.
Wait. You didn't just put sod on top of stuff. Because the root won't. So you still had, doing it the right way.
Right. So I've looked out the window this day, just 2 weeks ago, and all of a sudden, this flock of birds flew just to that area of my yard.
Right.
And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, and almost like after a couple of seconds, they flew off. And the Spirit said, to me, they knew they had eaten there before.
I need to do this when I get home.
That's
but
my testimony this morning. That's great.
Yep. Wow, Susan, that is powerful. That is good. So, let me ask the question. And the way, I'm so pleased with this study because it gives us the natural to try to apply it in the spiritual. Can anybody take her example? Oh, that's good. You said it would preach. How do I apply that to my life today? How do I take that? Go ahead. How do I take that natural example and apply it for our life today? Because the key to this parable, Christ says, is, and the key to being in good ground is, you got to gain an understanding. So you can hear the word, but you got to know how to apply it.
To me, it speaks, we got to stay constantly prepared.
Okay.
In the right soil, in the word.
Right.
So that we know the devil's always around the corner to come back and steal, steal and destroy.
Yep. Okay.
And if we're not planted, staying planted in the right soil, which is the word, and eating of the seed of the word, mm-hmm. not saying that he's not going to come and try to tempt us and snatch it away from us.
Yep.
But we've got to stay in the word so we can be stronger and stand against it. That's what that was me.
And when those people that we witnessed to the first time.
Oh, come on.
Come back. They know to come back to us and ask us questions.
Right.
They know where they got they heard something, and then the Holy Spirit was like working on them. I don't know how to say it, but I don't know how to word it, language it, you know. But then they come back to us.
I understand what you're saying. So there's several different applications. I like that. Several different applications. You got to remember, especially when we look at our map in the back and our seven steps or whatever. So I'm hearing different things here. The one thing, what Susan is talking about is, hey, I put that seed out there. It didn't take, but the unsaved know that once their heart are broken, kind of like, I told you so, that they know to come back and get seed from us because we were telling them the truth, and now they're broken and they're ready to receive it. That's one aspect. But you can't get to the aspect when you're throwing seed out until you receive seed and you apply it and you get fruit, and then you're ready to take the seed from that fruit and put it back out there so somebody can eat. So the other aspect is, am I in a place spiritually where the word is working for me? So it's a twofold thing here. Because you really can't reach other people until God has reached you.
And I tell you, the visual comes to my mind, Chuck, is when Jimmy got that sod, mm-hmm. we had been out of town. We got the call, he said yes, and the neighbor was so kind to put it all in the backyard right there for him.
Mm-hmm.
And it came rain. And my husband was out there for hours in rain so the soil wouldn't go bad. And he was preparing and putting down that soil. It just comes to my mind that a lot of times when we're really letting the seed of the word take root,
yeah.
it's sown in tears. It's sown in hardship. Mm-hmm. It's sown in struggle. And then, though, now, if you look out the window, you can't tell what... Where it was old and where it was new.
Ooh, I like that. Just like those three blind boys coming out of the furnace. You couldn't tell they'd been through anything.
Yeah.
Couldn't tell it was... So again, see how the natural is just playing into spiritually how it will preach? So this is what your story says to me. Because I got to make sure that before somebody else comes to visit that word that I might put out, I got to make sure, even today, I got to make sure that that I'm in a good place. So the seed is laid out, and you said you got to do it right. So even before I get ready to go and teach this lesson today, application for me, I could just do like Samson did in the story that we just were studying and go, hey, I've done this before. I've been successful before. I'll just go and teach this lesson just like I've always taught it, and the Lord will be with me. And maybe he will, but maybe he won't. How can I make sure that God will be with me? I got to prepare my soil. So I've got to be, and how do I prepare my soil? And that's not easy because it was never easy for me. I didn't go, hey, Mom, it's groundbreaking time again. I can't wait to do that. Nobody wants to be humbled and broken. But you gotta acknowledge. I gotta acknowledge and say, you know what, God, I don't have this. Even this lesson today, even though I've gone over it, I got a whole thing of notes or whatever. You know what? I need you. My heart is broke. I need you. And then I gotta repent. I gotta repent for trying to think that I can do this in and of my own strength. And I gotta then that new growth that comes up, that resurrected hope. My hope is that, Lord God, you'll take the lesson and you'll do marvelously with this thing. And this is something I have to do each day. Because even yesterday, I had a conversation with somebody that just stoked me to no end. And I knew when I had the conversation with the person, I'm like, this is just going in the wrong direction. And it's happening on a Saturday. And I know this is the enemy because the enemy is coming back and he knows that I've got to teach and preach on Sunday morning. And this is just a distraction. Birds coming back to eat in a place where they know they were able to eat before. Yes.
Because I was so involved with gardening at a young age.
Okay.
And I related so much of it to the word.
Yeah.
There are two critical things that are required to grow.
Okay.
The sun.
Yes.
And lots of water.
Yep.
And we know.
What do you need first?
Before
the, he just gave you another word to preach. He just gave you.
And a third ingredient, which is not quite as powerful, but it's.
Don't say fertilizer.
Time.
Time. Okay. Yeah. Oh, the patience. To
That's
the wear you out.
That's the
wear you out. See, I'm not like Jimmy. I have to say, he taught me how to work since I've been married to him because I didn't know how to be patient and keep at it. But like, I just.
Well, when you're waiting for Jimmy to change, it takes patience. Stop that.
Don't start it, Chuck.
God got all over it one time.
Jimmy, like I said, when it comes to physical labor and working like that, man, he just stays with it.
The thing is, I don't care how much of the labor you put in, we are still relying on God to bring the fruit.
Amen.
Because you can labor hard and still not produce when you do it in and of your own strength and you don't do it the right way.
With all that good water, that rain we have.
You could put sod down. I learned this. You could put sod down. And if you don't put sod down right, you'll have a worse situation. And you'll have to dig up all the stuff that's underneath it because you didn't dig it up first. It was a mess. It becomes like a mushy mud down there. It's just a real mess. You look at that in the natural, and then you compare that to the spiritual. And until you do it right and come correct with the Lord and you humble yourself, you're just not going to be able to produce much. And you're going to be wasting a lot of time and effort. I love what's going on here. So that example that I was giving you about having this troublesome conversation or whatever, just kind of set me off. I love your example because the enemy tries to snatch the word. And as you were saying that, I thought of another New Testament scripture, or an Old Testament scripture. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Do you see how even that scripture that David said compares to what we're talking about in this natural example? And so after I got off the phone call with this individual, I'm like, I'm not going to let the enemy steal my joy, steal that word that's connected to that joy, shake my faith, which is connected to that seed, is hid in my heart. Am I talking about my blood-pumping heart? This is fixed. My mind is fixed, so that word that is in my heart, in my mind, is held on to. I'm patiently waiting for God to move. I go through those steps that you're talking about. And Lee said something, and there's a reason why I asked him, can you give me the order? Now, Lee says that he's been farmer for since he was a young man, and I asked him that question. He said, oh, no, you got to have the water before the sun. Look at the scripture here. But he that received the seed in stony places, the same as he that hears the word and with joy receiveth it, yet he hath not root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. If you remember, the natural example of the story was, Christ says, the thorns or the rocks were in there, and they didn't have enough root. And when it came up, which something was produced, the sun came and scorched it. And this reminds me, I think it's John chapter 7, it might be 14, 8. No, it's John chapter 7, pretty sure it's John chapter 7, where he talks about, if anybody is thirsty, come unto me, and I will give you wells of living water to refresh you. And Lee says, you got to have the sun, but you better have the water first. Water represents what? Holy Spirit. So as I translate this natural story into my spiritual life, I must be refreshed. I got to have more than hope. I got to have his Holy Spirit that is watering me and refreshing me and guiding me and keeping me as I go through tough times. Because the Bible says, you know, don't think it's strange when you go through suffering and persecutions or whatever, because those persecutions and those tough times and that sun which is needed, that's what grows our faith. So if the plant needs the sun, and the sun represents tough times, and the sun helps out, then we need troubles and trials and situations to happen, and God refreshes us and carries us through, and we're can anybody say that you're better because of something that you went through?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Oh, yeah.
You got to have the Holy Spirit to carry you through. So the dead seed, and we already talked about fertilizer, that's us.
Mm-hmm.
It's the old. And I love what Susan said. The enemy comes back to the old. The enemy comes back to the old place to try to keep you from getting to your new place. Yes. Well, then you become spiritually obese, and then you and then you don't lick the spirit up. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you get too much water, the roots will grow deep.
Right.
And so then when you do get dryness, it will die.
So the water needs to run off a little bit.
They need time to drying out.
This goes back to what Sandra said.
Run through it.
Yeah. So once I've, once, pardon me?
Too much worldliness.
No, it's not so much worldliness, necessarily. Well, maybe. Let's come back to that. I like when Pastor Phipps said this one time. He said, sometimes we get the Holy Spirit, we become spiritually obese, and we never leak out to others. Because this is never just about us. The outpouring of the Spirit is so that we'll overflow and leak out to others, like Sandra said, and then we're spreading that seed and that spirit to others so that it spreads out. This isn't just about us. But we got to get ourselves together so we can
spread it.
All right. So, thank God for the Holy Spirit. All right, so when we look at this example, we're just, we haven't done any new stuff yet.
No.
All right, so let's see how far we can get here. Shock baby. All right, Also, he that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and becometh unfruitful. This is the most dangerous ground to me, as I said last time, for Christians to be in. Because if you became unfruitful, that must mean that at one point in time you must have been in the good ground producing what? Fruit. Which means if you became unfruitful and you were in good ground, somewhere you must have moved to the bad ground. And what would have moved you to the bad ground? Cares of the world, getting caught up in politics,
pride.
Pride.
Well, that's the most of thrive, I mean.
Oh, yeah, it ain't got to be all anything that distracts you from watching and taking care of what God has planted, that seed, and all of a sudden, oh, the devil can't steal it. It's in here. The devil can't steal it. Praise God. Isaiah 26:3. You'll give me perfect peace. If my mind stayed on you, you can't steal that word. You can't steal my joy, devil. I don't care. But wait a minute. But you've made some mistakes and you've done this. And no. The blood is greater. You can't take my forgiveness from me. I don't care what the world says. I'm brand new. You know, that's a lie from the pit of hell. You can never recover. But, nope. I've got resurrected Jesus Christ in my life, and I got the Holy Spirit that confirms and lets me know that my best is on the way. You can't get it, devil. You can't get it. And then all of a sudden, you see things happening in the world, or you get caught up on your job, or you get an old funky phone call, or somebody cuts you off in traffic. I was riding the fire. Now you know what? The world is evil. I'm going to tell you, the world is evil. Because I stayed at the prison, and I preached at the prison or whatever, and they gave the Sunday lesson. And then I said, guys, let me know when 5 of or whatever, because I got to be walking out of here 5 of. And all of a sudden, you know, it's right at the hour, so now I'm going to be late or whatever. But the word was set forth. Oh, man, I got to share with you the word I gave with them. Oh, man, it's awesome. And they were delivering. They felt great. Talking about Samson and when the best is yet to come in his death. He did more than what he did in life, which means, I mean, you're talking to inmates and you're letting them know your best days are in front of you because of this. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of showed them that, you know, when Samson went to those pillars, oh, let me share this with you. This is good. Samson gets put to the pillars and he asks, put me humble, broken. The man who could shake things off is asking a little boy, can you lead me to the pillars, all right? When he was still weakened and broken, why? He must have known that he had hope and patience that God was going to deliver. And what I saw in the scripture is, you got to be an inmate to appreciate this. What I saw in the scripture is the Philistines wanted to make fun of him because of his failure. And they said, bring Samson out. And put him near the pillars, mm-hmm. so we can make fun of him. Right. I'm like, oh my God, thank you, Holy Spirit. He never would have been put in that position if the enemy didn't want to make fun of him. Sometimes when the enemy thinks he's won, thank you, Jesus in the grave, all right, that's the opportunity that God looks for. To bring the house down. Man, but here's the other thing that I was sharing with him. I'm like, if Samson was to the point on the map, we'll have to tell you about the map. If Samson is at the point on the map where he feels that he can never be forgiven for the great sin that he committed with Delilah and sharing his secret, he never would have asked the boy, put me by the pillars. Because he never would have felt the forgiveness of God. Oh no, my brothers and sisters. You can't steal that word out of my mind. But I can be caught up with, oh man, there's a whole lot of people up in this thing. Oh, I wonder what people are thinking about me. I could get caught up in work. I can get caught up in other things. I can get caught up with, and as I'm, and I say this because as I'm getting ready to leave the prison, those brothers were on fire. Somebody actually believed that their best days in the Lord are in front of them while they're sitting in that incarcerated state. Amen. Good gracious. I tell them, some things you'll never get back. But God will allow you to have something. Something never got his eyes back. But and I'm driving and I'm late and I'm like, man, I still got time to make it to Von Forest in time. And somebody was in front of me. Slow poking around. 20 miles an hour in the 45 zone, which means you can go 55. And I'm like, what is going on? And I'm like, I got so caught up in this bad driver.
Pride.
That my mind moved me. Because my focus, you know, I'll give you perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me because you're trusting him.
You got that bad soil.
I got in bad. How did I get in the bad soil?
Your mind.
Why did my mind move?
The cares of this world. What
was the care of the world that moved me from the good soil after preaching that? My focus shifted. And that's just my focus shifted from
one soil
to the next, because now, oh, and let me tell you this, and it became unbelief and a lack of faith. Because I didn't think I was going to get here in time.
Did you ask the Lord to get you there on time?
No, his mind went there.
Al, I understand now. Al, I understand. Dominus, I understand.
Or no, you wouldn't have thought about it because you were so wrapped up. You would have been in the bliss soil that you wouldn't even been bothered if the person driving in front of you because your focus would have been on
I am so convicted. I am so convicted. Yes, Sandra, I never asked the Lord. I never asked the Lord, look, can I make it on time? I never asked him. I never sought to, because I was so busy and focused, fussing at the person in front of me, and my faith was shaken because of the circumstances in front of me that caused me to think, I may not get here on time. Has God always blessed me to be here on time?
Yes.
Most of them.
David, help me, brother. It's been like this ever since you've been gone, man. I'll tell you.
It's been a little old grandma driving that car.
Well, grandma need to get off the road.
You're going to be old one day.
As my mama said, you
got to
get to this age, man.
That's right.
Amen. Bring out his righteousness.
He got some.
He got as much as me. He's not righteous as me.
The example of the slow car and this example right here is evidence. It don't take much. It's the little foxes. Jesus said it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. We have to understand how to work this word in every situation. God, I am so sorry. I never asked you to deliver me from a situation as simple as that. Because I was too, thank you, Jimmy, I was too focused.
Yeah.
And here's why the danger, same danger to Samson. You can be in good soil and get moved to the other soil and not even know it. Quickly. But praise God, just as quickly as you got beamed out, you can call Scotty and tell him to beam you back in there again. You just got to recognize.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I mean, this parable is so powerful. All right. So anyway, let's move on. We got like 5-10 minutes. We might have lost the kingdom seeker or whatever, but. But he that received seed in the good ground is he that hit up. Oh, here we go.
Uh-huh.
Make note of this. How do I know that I'm in good ground? One, I hear the word. Two, understand the word. Consistently understand the word and apply it. My prayer this morning, and I guess I missed it, but I'm going to keep praying it. I've changed my prayer. Keep me in good soil. Lord, throughout the day, just keep me in the good ground. If somebody throws some rocks up that hinders from my past, keep me in good soil, in good ground. Remove those old rocks. Lord, my hope is in you. Let me be patient. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lee. Let me be patient because I know according to faith that if I'm in good ground, I can't help but be a success. He's going to bring it. If I'm in right standing with God, he's going to bless me on purpose. Surely goodness and mercy. He didn't say maybe goodness and mercy. Mm-hmm. Keep your fingers crossed. Goodness and mercy follow you.
With God, it seems like it's always about the land. He created the garden, mm-hmm. good land, good soil, and we had to move out. Then he wanted to get his people to the promised land.
If he did it before, he will do it again. You got to hear the word. You got to understand it. Know how to apply it to your everyday situation. All right? And I like what Norm said before that he liked, there's a difference between faith and faithfulness. I'm not trying to be planted in good ground one time and then never visit it again. You got to keep working it. That's the faithfulness.
He's going to keep peeling away the onion to get the soil to be back
over. Well, there's a couple things he's going to do. Let's go back to the agricultural thing. One, you got to keep digging up that ground because stuff will get in there. Two, once stuff starts coming up, got to prune it back. There's some scripture in there. Yeah, I'm on every good tree, he prunes. Mm-hmm. Why?
It's just like every year, I said, okay, time to get the soil ready. You got to pull the rocks out every year.
Yep, every year. Oh, my goodness. Go ahead.
You have to prune it in order to get more fruit.
Yeah, you got to cut it back because you got some worthless stuff that'll grow out there or whatever, mm-hmm. and it'll grow back. Anybody got one of those? What do you call it? We didn't have them up north. Crape myrtle. Good gracious. Yeah. Man, a crepe myrtle looks beautiful. Mm-hmm. My neighbor got a bush or whatever, and it's a crepe myrtle. I can't tell it's a crepe myrtle. I can't just shoot. And then I got a bunch of popcorn trees in the backyard because I wouldn't buy my wife a fence. And so she made her own fence with all these popcorn trees. Ooh. And popcorn trees come up like, that's why they call them popcorn trees, because, you know, they just pop up or whatever, right? And they're just growing big and wild or whatever, and I finally got those things cut back. Because when the storms come, guess what old Chuck had to do? I had to pop out to pick up the popcorn branches. And they might fall and damage somebody's fence and leave stuff. I said, no. And I go out in my house now, after I cut them things back, they look so, you know, springtime, it's like, man, it looks like, what happened? But now the leaves and everything, they are the most beautiful trees. And I praise God, my wife and I praise God all the time. I'm so glad we cut back them trees because when the storm comes, there's no damage.
I know.
Now, different lesson, but you just think about that in the natural and what it feels like when God prunes us so that we don't grow wild, looking all wild. And don't look at my hair either because I ain't cutting that just yet. All right. I know it needs to be pruned, but we're just going to keep on going. Let it be wild. I'm going to be like a Nazarite up in here.
What Lee said?
I don't care what Lee said.
He said that's the first thing he noticed.
You know what? Was that good seed?
No.
All right. Then why you let it get in your dome, all right? That's why you look like Jackie Robinson now. All right, let's go. All right, let's break this down. And application. All right, when you're trying to teach others, you should meet them where they are in their current level of understanding before you try to take them any further. You understand that? You can't take somebody someplace where you have never been. You need to meet them there. All right? If you know they're hard-headed, just keep throwing that seed out there or whatever. You know they're going to need to be broken before they get it. All right. I put the. Is it all right if I put Jimmy and Susan in there? They don't know who. I got the Jimmy and Susan testimony.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Okay.
Saying it.
Okay. Well, thank you for being the spokesperson for Jimmy and Susan.
I
feel your heart. I understand, brother.
You know your heart.
You know your heart. Amen. You know her heart. Amen. There you go. All right. All right, there you go. All right, the wayside represents people who they lack understanding. They get the word, they don't. So we want to make sure we got a good understanding of the word out of this, all right? Don't let your early success be the source of your downfall. All right, I already told you what does this look like today. I shared with you Isaiah 26 and 3 as an example. I always like that example because sometimes my piece just goes.
We lost the volume, Chuck.
You lost the volume?
We lost your
girl. How about that?
That's better.
All right. I'm going to put the snowball up here. All right, here we go. All right. Do thorns produce fruit? Yes. Do they become unfruitful? Yes. Stay in the good ground. Did you hear that, Sandra?
Yeah.
All right. There you go.
Thank you.
I mean, that's not directed towards you. I'm just making sure. Amen. All right.
Yeah.
All right. I guarantee it, that's the most dangerous place for Christians. And what scares me is that whole sheep goat thing where he says, you know, where they say, hey, we did this in your name and we did that in your name and we you know, I don't know. Wow. I don't want to get fooled like that. No. All right. All right. Early success does not guarantee that you're going to remain fruitful. You got to live your life like Janet Jackson in that song. What have you done for me lately? Do 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 do. Anyway. All right. That didn't work. Whatever. Yeah. Hey, it's the afro, whatever. The people with the afros know. The people with the naturals know the supernatural. Right, there you go. All right, there we go. All right. Good ground. Three key things. They hear the word. They understand the word. They apply the word. But then let me add a fourth thing. They don't stop. Faith is different from faithfulness. Don't stop. Let me tell you what I did yesterday. You be like my wife. Well, it's not like my wife. What have you? Anyway, let me keep going. All right. Mark has a different account, and Mark talks about the sower soweth the word. And the reason why I put and highlighted that is sometimes this becomes all about us and making sure we're in good ground. But the purpose of us being in good ground is so that we can spread the word to somebody else who is in the wrong ground. It is not just about us. All right? And then let's see. One more minute. He who have ears, let him hear. Look at the plants and trees. They know how to withstand a storm when they are deeply rooted. We are persecuted for righteousness. So we talked a little bit about that. We talked about that before. Here's some summary points, and then we'll get out of here. David's going to be so proud of me. All right. Summary points. Nowhere is it stated that the seed is at fault.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with the word. It is the ground and the receiver where the problem and the differences lie. Which is another reason why you want the Holy Spirit before you start talking to somebody else about the word. Because you don't want to mess up the word in your carnal self. You want to be led by the Spirit. Two, our work in spreading the seed is not in vain. Not all will get it, but some will. Did you understand why I highlighted that? Sometimes you can be so frustrated. Man, they just don't get it. But you just keep spreading it. because the word lands all over the place, and somewhere it's going to land in good seed, and somebody will get it. I know, and you got to be patient, because Al has been with me for years, and I'm starting to see some fruit. Just got to wait. All right? All right. Again, don't just hear the word. Get an understanding and know how to apply it. That's why I tell you these little funny stories. It ain't so funny. They're funny now, but now I'm thinking about looking for the old woman and telling her it's okay. But maybe I just need to let that go and just keep on going on and just let it go. All right. Just because you start on the wrong ground don't mean that you stay there. You can be converted. And just because you start out on good ground doesn't mean you're going to stay there. You know. What does the ground in the parable represent today? We already talked about it. State of mind. And that is it, because this gets into the next parable. So we will do the parable of the sower and the seed. I mean, the wheat and the tares. Next week. Any thoughts, comments before we go? Anybody get blessed? Amen. Anybody going to check the soil before you get up in the morning? Amen. Oh, you got to check the soil before you talk?